This is the Tom Bigby Tales. I'm your host, Shannon Evans, and I write about a small town in Northeast Mississippi called Columbus on the Tom Bigby River. Sometimes I write about the rest of the state. Tonight, this episode is about Nancy Luke Carpenter, the new director of the Columbus Cultural Foundation at the Tennessee Williams Building. Sometimes we interchangeably call it the Tennessee Williams Foundation, but it's really the Columbus Cultural Heritage Foundation. The title of this episode is Nancy and Swanning About. Now that Nancy Carpenter is finally out of the director position at the CVB, the Columbus Visitors Bureau, she has started her position off at the Tennessee Williams Building as director of the Cultural Heritage Foundation. This position seems to include responsibilities like parking in handicapped zones around town and swanning about the Art Center opening for Ralph Knowles' show at the grassy area at the Catfish in the Alley. Mrs. Carpenter does not have a disability. She still has her deceased husband's handicapped flag. She moved from one political leader to the other and among town royalty at the Catfish on the Alley, like a dog marking its territory, taking credit for the success of the CVB's event and the great organization and hard work of the new CVB CFO and CEOs, Francis and Sharon. Those two threw a great first event in their new role. Both days of Catfish on the Alley were better attended than the previous 10 years combined. Well done, ladies. But less than a week later, Carpenter closed the Tennessee Williams Building for the upstairs plaster repairs and porch replacement that are required for 3 months. Per their undated note on the door, the Tennessee Williams Building is completely closed for 3 ambiguous months. We have no idea what the start date is or the end date is because there's nothing on the note. Curious about the repairs intended for the building, I pulled out their grant that I had a copy of, and I looked at the grant application, and the only work listed for inside the building is plaster repairs to some upstairs walls and ceilings and painting of those said repairs. Not a painting of the interior's entirety, just of the repairs. However, apparently Carpenter has decided to have them repaint the entire upstairs, and so she hired McConnell's Mayflower Movers to remove all the upstairs furnishing for storage in some unknown location, possibly at McConnell's warehouse. That completed, and the truck gone at 5:30 in the afternoon, Nancy and her daughter, Molly Jane, her adult daughter, showed up with their two SUVs and began loading both vehicles with items from inside the Tennessee Williams Building. They built items that, for some reason, were not on the Mayflower truck. There were some chairs and boxes. And now I wonder if those were the Tennessee Williams family donations that Brenda Carradine gathered from St. Louis about 10 years ago when she went there with a team of people to collect the gift from the Williams family. Someone had better go check on the status of the Dakin Cup, the Bishop's Chair, the Tennessee Williams Funeral Laurel, and the Amethyst Cross. That Amethyst Cross was on the mantle in the dining room. Wonder what was in all those boxes Nancy and Molly Jane were packing in their cars. Nancy wasn't in that building long enough as director to accumulate any personal office stuff. All her CVB office belongings were packed up in last Friday in March by two off-duty city workers and taken on a flatbed wagon directly to her house. Besides, there's no offices upstairs in the Tennessee Williams Building. There are just two rooms upstairs. One's a bedroom slash sitting room, and the other one's a bedroom. It's unclear to me what she removed. Two workers whom she tried to have the CVB pay for her invoices for them were the ones who helped her move her things out of the city offices. Excuse me, out of the city-owned Columbus Visitors Bureau offices and storage building. But back to the closing of the Tennessee Williams Welcome Center this week. Nancy tried closing the building the week of the 8th of April during the spring pilgrimage. That's the height of the spring pilgrimage. I raised a stink about her doing that, along with the historic home tours and the CVB board. The Columbus Cultural Heritage Foundation told Nancy the building needed to remain open during pilgrimage. She kept it open through the 13th of April and the end of the historic home tours spring pilgrimage events, but then closed it on that following Monday, the 15th. But that was before the Preservation Society's Jubilee of Homes spring pilgrimage events were finished. In other words, it would appear that she was showing favoritism for the Historic Home Tours group over the Preservation Society. Either way, not okay. Their events actually end this weekend, and the W is hosting the Mississippi Public Broadcasting event on Saturday to coincide with the end of all of our spring pilgrimages. And the W is expecting 500 to 600 visitors to the Mississippi Public Broadcasting event. And of course, our Welcome Center is now closed. How embarrassing for our city that our first line of hospitality is closed after Carpenter and her board said it would remain open for the pilgrimage. Shame on them if they did not know pilgrimage and the MPV event were happening this weekend. Or shame on them if they purposely closed after the historic home tour events and ignored the struggling preservation group and their guests. What's more interesting is I called the MDOT director and asked what is their policy for welcome center closures during renovations. I was told they still remain open during renovations. They only close their welcome centers for at most 24 hours to move things like electrical lines or gas lines during renovations. Quote, "We never close our welcome centers in Mississippi. It's just not what we want visitors to the hospitality state to encounter. That's just not a good look for a visitor welcome center." End quote. Can't argue with that. So why has Nancy Luke Carpenter closed our welcome center? Apparently with her board's approval for 3 ambiguous months. Well, dollars, plain and simple. It's all about the Benjamins. If Nancy keeps it closed for 3 months, her dollars that would have gone to docent salaries, the $3,300 a month, will now go to pay her currently unfunded position as the director. That's right. Nancy Carpenter's current position is not included in their current budget. Oopsie, they forgot to fund it. Speaking of budget, remember in an earlier episode, I revealed that Mayor Gaskin had promised Carpenter over $50,000 from the city for her required matching grant? The only problem was Gaskin could not make that promise without city council approval, and he never bothered to get that approval. So now Nancy still needs that $50K that she's not going to get from Gaskin to get started on the renovations and in order to have the matching funds to make her qualified for that MDAH grant. She decided to go to the Columbus Visitors Bureau, the CVB, and get the remaining dollars to operate the Tennessee Williams Building. That's a little over $50,000, and use it as leverage for her matching funds. And they gave it to her. Not sure what the CVB treasurer Matt Bogue is thinking, or if the foundation board's treasurer Sonic Johnson is even aware that this has been done. So now Nancy is robbing Peter to pay Paul at the foundation, and she's not even been there a month. What happens when she's burned through the $50,000 the CVB gave her to last through the end of their fiscal year, which ends on the 30th of September? And I guarantee you, she will burn through it before the end of June. Where will Carpenter get operating funds from then? The foundation's line of credit? The CVB? I don't think, after her computer, phone, and moving charges fiasco and closing the Welcome Center during pilgrimage, will endear the CVB board to throw any more money her way. Which leads me to think she will raid other accounts that she's been entrusted with for future projects, if these accounts even exist anymore. Remember the Dixie Butler $75,000 donated for a bronze statue of Tennessee Williams on a bench? Remember it was on hold while the artist built a new studio? Well, the studio's completed, and Nancy has probably ghosted the artist. I hear tell she's not bothered updating him on plans for the statue, like when to start or where the funding is. You know, those important things. So where's the $75,000? It shows in the 2019 and 2020 990s filed with the foundation's taxes with the state. But no new tax filings are evident for the foundation on the state's nonprofit listings. And the Butler Fund has rolled off the foundation budget reports for 2022/2023 and for the 2023/2024 budget years. Now that's interesting. I wonder if Sonic Johnson, who's the foundation's treasurer, has seen any recent bank statements for the Butler donation. Did he ever get a funding agreement from the now frail and blind Mrs. Butler or her trust manager to guarantee the 75K would be used as the beloved Miss Dixie intended? Is the new board's executive committee of Brenda Willis, Sonic Johnson, and Talia Carter paying attention? I firmly believe cash-strapped Carpenter will rob their accounts blind over the next 6 months before dumping their organization for a more cash-fluid position elsewhere. And I hear she's already got her resume out and looking. While I'd love to see the taillights of Carpenter as she leaves Columbus for parts unknown, I'd hate to see her pick their pockets on the way out of town. I'm Shannon Evans, and this is the Tom Bigby Tales. Until next time.